time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we get into our interview that we have for today, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Illuminate by Elgin Johnson. Sit back and enjoy.
To the darkness around, can't pay attention to the darkness around, can't pay attention to the darkness around. Your beautiful love illuminates, your beautiful love
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have my great friend, Vicki McMurray,
hello.
With me today. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Carla.
Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can get all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And we are welcoming our guest today.
Yes.
Grant Skeldon is here. Hey, Grant.
What's up, y'all?
Y'all, we're going to have a good conversation.
I know. We have another boy in the recording
studio today. So
I like to think of myself as a man.
Sorry.
You are. Sorry. It's the, you know, if my daughters are listening or were sitting right next to me, they'd be rolling their eyes.
They'd
it's
be
the
so
kindergarten
mad.
Teacher that comes out sometimes in me. I apologize. It's
by,
kind of funny,
By
though.
Boy, we mean man.
We do mean man.
So sorry about that.
Yes.
So we have, we're kind of racking up the men now. Can we say that? We haven't hit five. Have we hit five?
Yeah, racking up the men.
On the Every Heart, Every Woman radio
That's
show.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Grant is a speaker, an author, and a local missionary. And Grant began Initiative Network, and he's also the author of The Passion Generation. So we were talking earlier, we checked out your websites and love them.
Yes.
And they're so interesting. So we want to know all the information. We want to know, well, first, just tell our listeners more about you.
So I grew up in the home of the Fighting Farmers, which is Lewisville, Texas.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of where I've been from kindergarten all the way to high school, graduated there, gave my life to the Lord when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I was dating a girl for 3 years, mm-hmm. and she cheated on me and really hurt me. And I wasn't the best dude anyway, but I was like, hey, I'm doing the bad stuff. You're not allowed to like.
Right,
do
right, right, right.
But it was kind of like we all probably have this time in our life where I would say maybe something happened that drove us to the Lord. And mm-hmm. for me, that was a big thing. It happened on Monday. On Wednesday, I really found my identity in that relationship. I also found my identity in basketball. I think college students, but especially high school students, you're kind of known for what you do.
And absolutely.
You kind of identify and orient your identity around that
mm-hmm.
sport. Well, Lauren breaking up with me and then getting kicked off the basketball team actually on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
It was like the worst week of my life.
Mm-hmm.
A month later, I go to church mostly because I had some friends going. They said there's a lot of good-looking girls there. And I was single for the first time. At 16, 3 year relationships, a long time.
That
it
is.
Felt like I had not been able to date for years. So I go to this church, and the very first time, March 8, 2006, I hear the gospel. I hear the testimony of this guy talking about how he really pursued football. And basically, I felt like I heard my story,
mm-hmm.
except he got the state championship in it. And when mm-hmm. he said he was holding the trophy and really realized that it was so empty when he finally got everything mm-hmm. he thought would accomplish and give value and validate who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing him kind of achieve what he thought success was outside of the Lord
mm-hmm.
and seeing me not achieve and still feel depressed, I was like, maybe God is the thing I should put my life in, and maybe he'll
wow.
never leave me. He'll always matter in 5 years, 10 years, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually always knew God was real, and I even knew if I died, I would probably go to hell. I just didn't want to follow God yet. I always kind of thought of him as a killjoy. But I told myself that when I'm 26, I'll be a Christian, because my mom became a Christian kind of later on in her life, because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to have fun. And then I'll be a Christian.
Right,
settle
you can't
down.
Have any fun being a Christian.
That's what I thought. That's what I
know.
And so,
such a bad,
yeah,
bad
gave,
rap.
Gave my life to Christ 10 years earlier than I planned
mm-hmm.
at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge part of my story was not just that I became a believer, but 2 weeks later, I had this guy named Kevin Batista, who's still in Dallas now, really take me under his wing. He sought me out. He asked questions about my life. And really, I think he realized I don't have any Christian friends. I don't have a Christian father. My mom is trying to lead three boys without the spiritual support in the household. And he just said, hey, I'd love to have you join my small group that I'm pouring into the whole bunch of young Christian leaders at this youth ministry that was blown up at the time. It was 600 high school students.
Wow.
Oh, my
goodness.
So it was,
like, pretty massive.
In Louisville?
In Grapevine.
Okay.
Wow.
And so all of a sudden I go from making fun of Christians, thinking that God's a killjoy, to I'm, like, on the leadership team of, like, this huge youth ministry, and I'm being discipled by the youth pastor. And he, I don't know, it was just...
That's,
I don't want to say
so
it's lucky, but yeah,
way.
It was like a classic God moment.
Right.
In my organization, we say classic God whenever I had a guy growing up in college, whenever people were late or whenever people did something that was like a bad thing, but they always did that, like Tim's always late. So he walks in 5 minutes late. He's be like, classic Tim.
Right, to always come in
like late. And so one day we started seeing a pattern of God doing really unique things, big things that were in a personal way. That kind of, not where he just showed up, but he kind of showed off.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our organization, we kind of say, classic God. Like,
I
whenever
love it.
He shows up.
Yeah.
And it's like his nature to do it.
Yeah.
Yes,
that is perfect.
That is. That's amazing. That's a great, I think I read some of that on your website. I love that story.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, I like that you said, because I think that that's so interesting. So many young people feel the same way. Like, I don't want to give my life to Christ because, I mean, of course, I'm not going to do anything fun for the rest of my life.
Or no,
you know?
Like, I have girls. So I have one that's out of college and one that's in college. And, you know, that's, you know, a guy that likes the Lord, he's not going to be any fun to date. He's not, you know, we're not going to go do anything fun. I can, you know, I think it's a misnomer. Obviously, and
it is.
And it kind of leads into a little bit of kind of what you're doing with your initiative network and your goal to disciple millennials, which we haven't even gotten into yet. But it we need more discussion like this. So tell me how you got from leading and being a part of this organization in Grapevine. So where'd you go to college?
I went to Dallas Baptist University,
and I
went to Southwestern Theological Seminary over in Fort Worth.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I never graduated either of them, but I did go to them
for
a short while.
That's okay. That's all right. We're not here to judge. Trust
exactly.
me. I couldn't go to seminary, so there you go. I couldn't even try to. That's just not my gift. But so tell us how those experiences obviously parlayed you into where you are now. So, and some things in between?
Yeah. I mean, seminary... I learned very quickly that I didn't know a lot about God or theology or church history. I also, in my experience, realized, man, seminary kids are very sheltered, personally, in my experience. And I did, because actually seminary, in a sense, is a lot of kind of a kind of what I do now is somewhat of an alternative to seminary. This whole initiative network, or 72 specifically, one of our slogans is, we say, seminary trains pastors for the church, but I want to train missionaries for the city. And so I felt like when you go to seminary, they're so heavy emphasizing theology, teaching, homiletics, Greek and Hebrew, things that, I mean, in this day and age, I'm not saying that you don't need to know those things, but trying to translate Greek in Oak Cliff or Louisville or whatever,
trying
commerce,
to make it meaningful?
Yeah, it's kind of like those, it's kind of like how school makes you take a lot of really random classes that you know you're never going to use in real life.
Have you used your algebra today?
Yeah, it's like the trigonometry that I have to use in cooking. Like, it's just not there. And so I just felt like, where do you go if you, let's say you're a young adult and you're a Christian and you look at, you turn on the news and you can't help but see division and tension in our nation, from politics to race to even generations right now, and you think, man, as a Christian, I want to go do what some people in the Bible did. I mean, Joseph technically was in politics. Daniel was technically in politics. David was definitely in politics. Solomon. There's a lot of people that went into government, if you will. But I don't feel like seminary is even considering training leaders for that. I don't know if you're a Christian and you want to redeem our country or our culture, where do you go? And I feel like there's the reason why we're kind of absent in that conversation. If you're a musician and you don't want to just be a worship leader, you also want to go you want to be like a representative as a Christian, but you're in the culture. I didn't feel like seminary was training those kind of leaders. If you want to go into media, if you want to go into business, I felt like it was mostly training pastors for the church. And that's good, but I think we need missionaries in our city. And if you think about it, Jesus himself didn't even pick any religious leaders to be his disciples. He picked marketplace guys. He picked Pharisees, tax collectors, not Pharisees, sorry, He picked tax collectors, fishermen, these other kind of guys. And so that's kind of what I wanted to create is there's a generation that's leaving the church, but they're joining nonprofits and causes, entrepreneurial organizations. And I was like, how can we still create training that they can stop just trying to go to church, but be the church, which is actually what I'm excited about, is I don't think this generation wants church to be a hobby that they just go to once a week. I think they actually want to be the church.
Yeah, I think that's really good. So I work for an organization, Visible Music College,
cool.
And we do just what you said.
That's
like
awesome.
We're training Christian young people to be in the marketplace. And I mean, that's why I'm a part of the organization. So tell us more about what you do to help train missionaries.
Yeah, so a big part of it is accelerating them, but a big part of that also starts with just uniting them with others. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would assume for your group, just for those young adults to meet others that are passionate mm-hmm. about the same things as them,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like that quote, show me your friends and I'll mm-hmm. show you your
mm-hmm.
future.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've heard also like you're going to be a sum of like the top five friends you spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to connect some of the most elite young leaders that are impacting culture, whether it's business, whether it's arts, whether it's government, anything that they're doing, education. I want to connect those people with other young Christians from other churches that also care about those things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we say is like a divided nation needs a united church. And so I want to bring those young adults together. So what it looks like right now is there's 80 young leaders from 50 different churches that are in an 8-month program together, 72 new ones, and then there's 12 from the last class that come and kind of, it's kind of like a fraternity or sorority in
yes.
a sense.
Yeah.
And so you're still in it, but now you have leadership responsibilities and you're leading and pouring into the group. But this has, I mean, just to know others. Have you guys ever heard the quote, leadership is lonely? Before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would say maybe even have found that leadership is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe leadership is even more lonely for young adult millennial Christians
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, this generation is rapidly leaving the church. And so even I think to myself, remember how I said I was in that group of like leadership team that were young that was over the 600 students? Unfortunately, it's crazy. I look back at the picture of all of us together. It was about 10 of us. I don't know if any of them are in church anymore. And I'm like the one that still is.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically right now, 7 out of 10 young people leave the church when they go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I found that experientially to be pretty true and accurate in my own friendships. And so creating community among the young leaders that are breaking the stereotypes. They aren't noncommittal. They aren't slacktivists. They
mm-hmm.
aren't entitled. They aren't all these things. I think what I'm trying to do is get them into a cohort, if you will, to kind of create a new narrative and even a new, stereotype, if you will, to
mm-hmm.
be role models for
mm-hmm.
what it looks like. And so I do bring in mentors also, that if you want to go into arts or you want to go into business, you want to go into education or music, let's bring in older, wiser, experienced people that have been there for 5, 10, 20 years
mm-hmm.
to pour into this group.
Absolutely.
And so we
mm-hmm.
often bring in experts in those areas. We're always trying to connect them to mentors, but we also challenge them to disciple someone themselves. I think I want to create a discipleship culture in this next generation because I think a big part of why millennials are where they are is because their discipleship isn't a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not many millennials have never been discipled, and I think if we don't fix the discipleship problem, we'll have a Z generation problem just as bad as we had a millennial problem, maybe
mm-hmm.
even worse because, again, as you guys can already tell, culture is getting farther and farther away from the things of God.
Absolutely.
And more people are leaving the church. And so if we think millennials are bad, I mean, just wait till
mm-hmm.
the generation coming after them doesn't know anything about the things of God
mm-hmm.
and the
right.
generation before them massively walked away from
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
So are these young people that are working in the church or just attend a particular church?
So they're all members at a church because
okay.
there's a high emphasis on still being the church,
mm-hmm.
but it's in sitting under the authority of a church.
Mm-hmm.
However, they mostly don't work in church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did they find out about you?
Grace. I don't know. It really is word of mouth at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was very intentional. I grew up, I'm South African and I am Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grew up mostly with black people, but then I got saved and it was all white people. And I don't know, I've always kind of felt racially ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always had a heart for like bridge building.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I've always been intentional to like, if I'm going to go in a room of, let's say mostly people are older there and there's one young guy, or girl, I'm going to go say, like, hey, why are you here? Like, how do you get here?
Right.
Or if it's a whole bunch of black people and there's one white guy, it's like, how are you connected to all this? Mm-hmm. I always look for the minority and whatever, because I was that a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I think over years of always connecting with them, because those kind of people that can be the one person that's not like everybody else,
right.
there's a certain type of, I don't know, drive or endurance or perseverance that you can have. And so getting those people all together, they tend to like to be bridge builders, and they tend to like to dip in and out of different types of cultures. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that is what makes up a lot of 72, is it's the kind of people that don't want to just be in homogenous communities.
Right.
They want to be in groups that are diverse, and it's kind of adventurous. I like in diversity, it's just better, like better together. I actually like use a joke that since my friends are all diverse, I'm also just turned 29. Whenever you get married, everyone starts getting married around this age. And so I go to weddings all the time, and I joke a lot. Whenever I go to a white wedding, it's usually really sacred. It's awesome. It's very nice. They're very Pinteresty. But when the music comes on, I'm never usually a big fan of the music time, because it's always the most predictable songs ever at white weddings. It's kind of like, okay, let's do the Cupid Shuffle. I know that's going to be the first song.
That's hilarious.
And then it's going to be like, I always joke white people and white weddings always have music with directions. It's like to the left, to the left, to the left, to the right. Now slide to your left.
Though, he hasn't
slide
met your
to
mom.
The right. And it's like hip, like hop two times, clap three times. It's like, and the white people are like, man, this is my song. And I'm always like, no, this is the only song you know how to dance to. And so that's what it's like. Now, if I go to a black wedding, there's one of my close friends, I went to this wedding. This isn't always true, but it was about 30 minutes late. It started a little late.
Yep.
I'm going to say a big loud yes,
yes
to that.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And then, but the music was incredible. Like, it's like, okay, I'm going to learn two new dance moves. I'm going to, like, learn all the new songs. Like, it's going to, if you don't come onto the dance floor,
right.
you're going to stand out. Like, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look like you're going to be some of the few sitting down. It's not like you have to sell people, like, hey,
right.
come on,
doesn't
guys on
the dance
floor.
It doesn't matter if you can dance either. It's
yeah,
just
it's
part
just
of being
fun.
In the
it's
community.
The energy
in that
is very different.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's just, it's not one's better or worse. I mean,
right.
if I go to a Mexican wedding, the food is legit,
mm-hmm.
the hospitality,
mm-hmm.
like there's a jovial spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, if I go to a multiracial wedding, then it's like, it's all this combination of we're
things
on time,
together.
The music's
mm-hmm.
good, the food's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get to see this stuff come together. I think that's what heaven's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what the church could be like today.
Right.
And I think that's what this generation wants.
I think,
mm-hmm.
I think so churches try, they strive for that, many of
they
them
do. They
do.
They want it, and they desire it. I think it's just you have to work hard to be in relationship
you
with people
have
not
to,
like you.
You do. You have to work hard, and you have to equip people. Because I don't think it comes, you can be a believer, and it still doesn't come natural to
right.
you to
right.
go and try to disciple. I mean, I think you have to educate and equip people. And then you also have to have a common vision, because I feel like at the church I'm attending right now in Commerce, I love it. Thank you. I love our church. I'm done. But we are talking a lot about that. We have a very diverse congregation, which is phenomenal. But you have to educate what is our mission at church. It's not we want to be the better or bigger church in our little community. We just want to be the hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to have followers of Christ come and be a part of our congregation. But we're not going to do gimmicky things to do it. We're going to make and try to build on our relationships with each other and learn about each
mm-hmm.
other. And I that does not come naturally to some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why this initiative to me has been so
mm-hmm.
intriguing,
mm-hmm.
especially with, you know, young college students, because you don't do high school, right? It's college.
Maybe a senior. We've
okay.
done that
right.
a couple times.
Okay.
Well, relationship and community, I think that's the thing that all of this is going to be built on.
Yes.
Right.
And it's also, I feel like the Holy Spirit that can bind us all together so that we can accept and love each other and be okay
right.
that we're all different. And
Which
and
is
try
great.
To see how those differences can
right.
make us better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Grant, we need to take a break, but when we get back, we want to talk about your book and get into some other great topics with you. But this conversation has been so good and refreshing and needed. So let's take a break and we will be right back.
Awesome.
Listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host, and I have my great friend Vicki McMurray co-hosting
yes.
with me today.
Yes.
We're still holding hands.
We are.
Still tackling this radio show together.
We are.
We are having a great conversation with Grant Skeldon. And so we were talking earlier, and Vicki mentioned that, well, both of us drive in from Nevada. Vicki drives in from Commerce.
Commerce, the Merce.
And Grant said, what did he say to that?
It's one of my favorite places to go.
Commerce is one of your favorite places to go.
And I love Commerce, but I don't hear that very often. So we're going to ask you on the air, why is Commerce one of your favorite places?
Well, okay, I travel a lot. And mm-hmm. I'm always on a—I mean, I just got back last night from Naples, Florida.
Oh, wow.
The week before that, mm-hmm. I was in Phoenix and Orange County in Virginia. So I'm always going to different places, but
yes.
I like Commerce because it's just a very restful place.
It is.
I date a girl that was born and raised and worked at the university.
Really?
What?
Her name is Cheyenne Patterson.
And I know Cheyenne.
Yeah, she knows you.
I know her mom, Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie Patterson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so the Pattersons.
Small world.
I met her at a church retreat once, and on the way back from Tyler, Texas.
Yes.
I needed a ride, and she was needed a ride, and we both, I guess, got
she
a ride
had her
together.
Birthday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I know
wow.
Cheyenne.
Yeah.
She graduated a few years ago from the high school because she graduated with a friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
I was actually one of the parents when she went to prom. So they all met at someone's house, and
nice.
I did, yeah. Anyway, very small world. And she's a Kyo.
Kyo, man, she talks. Yeah, so
yes,
she was the
she
president
is.
Of a sorority.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we go to Lulu Burgers a lot.
Yes, that's literally 5 seconds from my house. You come back into
well,
town,
I mean,
we have
drive
to have you.
The whole city
I know.
In like
we need
five minutes,
yeah, you
so.
Can.
5 minutes.
It takes
for
one
sure,
second to
that.
Get through Commerce. Oh, my goodness. That's such a great story.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
That is
okay.
so funny.
We can go on with the show now.
Okay, that's
so
good. So that's why
that.
You like Commerce.
Okay.
So that's,
but we get
okay.
away a lot there, too. Like
yeah.
I love whenever she's like, hey, I want to go see the family, I'm like, let's go. It's restful. It's peaceful. I don't feel, it's just, I like getting away. I've learned this year, you gotta start from a place of rest. You can't,
absolutely.
You can't just
absolutely.
Knock down doors.
That's right.
And you know what? Rest and Sabbath, those are spiritual disciplines. That's
absolutely.
What I've learned this year, that those
yeah.
are spiritual disciplines. And so we're supposed to have people in our lives that help us. And so that we're not alone. And
right.
we take this road together with
right.
people. We lean on people. We trust
right.
people. And we take times to rest and connect with the Lord.
Yes, she's looking at me.
If
yes.
you think about it, I mean, until last year, I always thought it was a little bit of an overreaction for God to make that one of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm,
kind of
mm-hmm.
like, don't lie, don't cheat, don't kill people, and take a nap. It
right.
just sounds like a little
seriously?
Off. Like, okay, I think you put one in there that's just a personal passion for you
right.
or something.
Yeah.
Like, but now I see why it's like it's that important.
It's important.
And Jesus, I mean, if God on earth, like, in the flesh, he prioritized rest, prayer,
mm-hmm.
Sabbath. I mean, I think so much of that time when they couldn't find him in the morning, and
mm-hmm.
he was like, it said he rise before
mm-hmm.
The sun to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come up and they say, hey, what are you doing? Everyone is looking for you. And I just think about our life today. In the work I do, I'm sure in the work you
yes.
do, I'm sure we all have something we got to get to in the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
There's so many people that are demanding our time,
mm-hmm.
and we say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're such a busy nation. And in a sense, we kind of like being wanted. Like, we like that people want us or need us, or we check social media. Has anyone else seen my stuff or like my stuff? What's going on Facebook? They say we have OCD, obsessive comparison disorder.
We do.
And so we're constantly like, everyone needs you or wants you. And everyone, it says everyone is looking for you. Who doesn't want everyone to be looking for them?
Right.
But Jesus says, okay. And he actually, it says he doesn't respond to that.
Right.
He goes to another city. And so I think just starting with God, and then sometimes you can't fix everybody's problems and you can't be everything you want to be.
Right.
I mean, if the Savior of the world didn't try to be the Savior to everybody's problems, then who do we think we are to try to fix everything at our own expense to where we really can't help everyone? It's been a huge lesson. Reading a book called Emotionally Healthy Leader. It's like a groundbreaking book for me.
That's well, and
we probably need to read that on ourselves. We need to write that
probably
down.
Probably do.
Yes.
And we're not 29. I think that's so wise of you to figure that out for yourself. And I think Carla looked over at me because she's burning a lot of candles right now in her life. I'm not very much right now, but I have, and I know what that's like. And it is important to rest. And we have to take care of ourselves. And we can't accomplish the things that God's tasked us with unless we take care of ourselves. And so I think I love the title of that book. I'll have to look it up. But I think it's very wise at a very young age, because you may not feel very young, but you're very young. And I think, and that's not a bad thing. It's a fabulous thing. I didn't know that at 29, so I think that's pretty amazing.
Right. So let's talk about your book. You are the author of The Passion Generation. So tell us more about the book, and I know it's doing so well.
Yeah, no, it is. It's my first book. It was basically the reason why I wrote the book is everyone talks about millennials all the time, usually negatively and usually warranted. I get why they're. That sometimes can be frustrating. They definitely have a different work ethic. They want to work different, work from home sometimes, want flexibility. They don't have the same vision as the American dream that we've always kind of been sold when it comes to graduating college in 4 years, getting married in there or right after. They're so different, and it's disrupting a lot. In fact, the subtitle for the book, it's called The Passion Generation, and then the subtitle is The Seemingly Reckless, Definitely Disruptive, but far from hopeless millennials. And so the problem was there's all these books on or blogs or sayings or things or ideas about millennials, but most of them are actually not created or done by millennials. And so that would be like you two women have I say this often, is like, would you guys want a book that everyone's saying, this is what you got to listen to, and it's a book written 100% by men that did research on women, and they did a lot of statistics, and they did a lot of research. Would you say this was the book that you would recommend all men reading if they want to figure out what women want and what women need, written 100% by men? They did great research, but they didn't involve any women in writing the book.
No.
Exactly. And so I think that's why we actually have a lot of research on millennials, but we don't have a lot of results on engaging millennials. We have a lot of statistics, but we don't have a lot of solutions. And so I've been kind of pushing off writing a book for a while, and I had publishers reach out to me. And finally, I had a person kind of convict me, if you don't write a book, because you speak all the time and you're saying it's helping a lot of parents that are trying to figure out their kids. It's helping a lot of pastors that are trying to engage the next generation. It's helping a lot of bosses or employers that are frustrated sometimes with millennials. But to not turn that into a book that can go where you're not, like even when, and they're so right, because I mean, there's people reading the book when I'm asleep, or there's people reading the book when I'm not even in their city, or I never have visited their country. And so it's been cool to see what God can do when you turn these ideas into, something that's more portable and sticky. And so it's been really awesome to see how much it's blown up and how many churches are reading it, parents and their kids reading it, bosses and their employees reading it.
Are you training? I mean, you said you've traveled a lot lately, so are you going to train people, or are you just talking specifically about it or about the Initiative Network? Or?
Yeah, I do. We're doing different things. I'm actually building a team because I'm getting requested more than I'm able to do. And so I'm building a team. Our website's just Next Gen Advisors. And so it's kind of these group of young leaders that I've met across the nation that are really solid communicators, really solid solid leaders in their generation, and they're in their early 20s or mid-20s, to kind of go and share, whether it's a workshop or if it's some churches will bring us in to be like secret shopper experiences mm-hmm. that we'll do with them, mm-hmm. and then give feedback to their staff and to their elders or
That's
deacons.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun because we have like these 10 things we look for that many millennials consider when joining a church. And so I give them those 10 things. There's a document I give them. And they go, these young adults that we send out will go and look for those things and then deliver, here's how we score these 10 things, this is why, this is what we suggest you do. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to create a team that helps in that arena. Actually, just today, I was talking to Monica, who y'all know,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking at doing a conference either in Dallas or maybe in Nashville, and it would be a conference on millennials designed by millennials for non-millennials. And we have a lot of buy-in right now mm-hmm. from some very large organizations that want to sponsor it and invite their networks.
Hmm. I like it. That's a really interesting idea. Yeah. You don't want to come to the MERS and do a conference?
Yeah, what's the name?
We got all those college students.
Y'all have an international airport, right?
International to Texas. We think we're a nation.
Yeah. That's funny. So I'm interested because I'm a worship leader at Highland Park United Methodist Church. I'm interested in what is your message to churches?
Mm-hmm.
My message, the number one thing is, ironically, that I'm not coming to give tips and tricks on how to reach the next generation
mm-hmm.
because all it will do is work for 5-10 years, and then the next generation after them is different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Xers, or which are my parents' generation, they did certain things that probably seemed odd and weird to their parents, boomers, and now we're doing stuff that seems weird. And I'm getting to an age where I'm like, man, I'm getting old. Like, I remember when our phone was a Nokia, mm-hmm. like, type of
yes.
phone, and it didn't flip. And if it did flip, that was cool, and now that's not cool. And I remember when the phone was kind of attached to the wall, and people had home phones.
Yes.
And, just, I'm starting to say, like, back in my day, those kind of things.
Yes.
I mean, I'm changing. I'm starting to, they say around 25 to 26, you stop, you kind of are set in the kind of music you like.
Right.
And anything after that just sounds off or weird or like, oh, this is just loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 29 now, and some of the I love rap music, but some of the current rap, I'm like, this is not good at all.
Some
like, our rap was really good, but you know, I heard that when I was
right.
16
right.
that
right.
they
right.
said, man, we
right.
were actually too
our rap was,
like, that
yeah.
was that, like, the
yes.
good stuff. And
our rap really was the good stuff.
Yeah, and so, and I agree with that. And so, with that, what if I came and give tips and tricks on how to reach millennials, and then the next generation's like, we don't even like that kind of
right.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the one silver bullet I would say that works for every generation, if you're a parent, you're a pastor, you're a business leader, is just go and do what Jesus said and
mm-hmm.
take his last words as your first priority. And what he told us to do is to go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is that most Christians don't do that, as in the sense that most Christians are not discipling anyone, in the sense that like Jesus had Peter and Paul
mm-hmm.
had Timothy,
right. mm-hmm.
Elijah had Elijah. Most Christians, if I would say, like, who's your person? Like, who are you? Who's the young person
mm-hmm.
that would say, that you're the one that's pouring into me.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that has said to me, follow me
mm-hmm.
as I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that for whatever reason, it's not even normal for the disciples of Jesus Christ, who we consider ourselves to be, to disciple like Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so many people don't do it. Statistically, under 4% people have a relationship like that with someone who they regularly meet with.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say, my main message, is we actually don't have a millennial problem. We have a discipleship problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think millennials are bad, if we don't fix this discipleship problem, Z generation will be even worse.
Right.
And the alpha generation after them will be even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not the first generation to receive the byproduct of neglecting discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when we don't disciple, we basically allow culture to disciple our youth. And culture 20, 30 years ago was generally morally good. Generally, you're supposed to go to church, even
right.
if you don't actually live it.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, they kind of seemed like they were on the same team. You couldn't tell for sure. Now, culture is very anti-God, anti-Christian,
mm-hmm.
anti-biblical values. And so now it's very clear, okay, we're allowing culture to disciple our kids, and now our kids don't want to be a part of the body of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wanting churches to disciple, and then you're wanting them to go out and find someone to disciple, like your initiative network folks.
Yeah.
And then So are you training the churches?
Okay,
I was going to say, you'd have to, because I think I said that earlier in the show. People don't really know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, how I define discipleship is frequently following someone who is spiritually a step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I use those words very intentionally, is frequently. So I'm not saying once a day or once a week. I'm not saying doing a three-year camping trip that Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that's kind of impractical for most. But I am saying frequently, like enough to say, yeah, they're in my life regularly enough to be up to date with what's going on. And we have some type of flow once a week, once a month, probably not quarterly, but maybe if that feels frequently for you, start somewhere. I mean, it's better than nothing.
Right.
Second would be frequently following. To me, we sometimes confuse mentorship and discipleship. To me, mentorship is come and meet with me. But Jesus didn't say to Peter, come and meet with me. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Starbucks once a week for 3 years. He said, come and follow me. And so mentorship is good. For example, there's certain people that you can meet with that maybe they have a stronger marriage, or maybe you want to learn how to do accounting with your budget, or want to learn something. You could have one meeting and they say some things that really help you with that. But that's not discipleship, because you never meet their family, you never meet their kids, mm-hmm. you never meet their employees, you never meet their neighbors. But when you follow someone, you get to look into their world and see what they're like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
They say that discipleship is caught more than it's taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
frequently
mm-hmm.
following someone who is spiritually a step ahead. And mm-hmm. the last part's intentional too, is a lot of people don't feel qualified or equipped to disciple. And they're not. They're not qualified or they're not equipped.
Mm-hmm.
They get overwhelmed.
Yeah, and so what I tell them is, I mean, if we... Sorry, my mic. I have this tile thing that, like, goes off whenever, just randomly.
That's okay.
Basically, some people don't feel qualified and equipped, and they're right, because almost no one in the Bible ever felt qualified or equipped.
Right.
Nobody.
Oh, no, they were bumbling around.
Yeah, like, the disciples were falling asleep,
they were
cutting
hot messes,
off
just
ears.
Like we are, yes.
And so... that's what it looks like for me. And where I say to follow is start having them follow you in your spiritual life. I mean, basically in your work life, your family life, mm-hmm. your personal life, or your church life. Those
right.
are four areas. Like maybe it's your hobbies in your personal life. Maybe it's at work if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's in your church. But just include them. Invite mm-hmm. them into your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say our pastor actually challenged us this year to, you know, have folks over to dinner that aren't the people that are your regular buds you run around with. Let's
Absolutely.
Start inviting people into your home that you don't know real well
mm-hmm.
for that whole reason alone, just to start to get to know each other and to be able to disciple and just, you know,
That's
try to,
under,
like you're talking about at school when you, where you grew up, when you went to high school, it was just that you all really got to know each other and love each other.
Yes, we did.
Regardless of
we
your
did.
Differences.
We
and,
did.
Yeah.
And we learned so much at that time. We learned so much about, because there were so many things that other cultures do that, you know, we were like, well, why don't we do this? Like, this
but that can be intimidating.
Fun.
I mean, I think it's different in high school. I think it's harder as an adult. I'm going to say that for myself. I think it's harder for me. I have my little comfortable little group I hang with, and we all know each other well, mm-hmm. and, you know, awkward crickets are going in the background when maybe you have somebody come over you don't know very well. But mm-hmm. then there's also just energy about that, too, trying to get to know people that their walk is different.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what blessing's going to come out of that.
Yeah, I think it can go bad. I mean, just like dating.
Sure.
I say discipleship and dating is very similar in the initial stages. I mean, sometimes you meet with someone just like in a date, and you're like, okay, this ain't going to work out for sure. I know we are not going to end up
mm-hmm.
together.
Right.
And sometimes, so I mean, see if you have some chemistry. You're not committing
mm-hmm.
right away.
Right,
you don't ask someone to marry you on the first date.
Right.
And so it's a lot of wisdom that can be found in
mm-hmm.
how do you – it's a big commitment. But I do think – I personally think a lot of people are bored in church. I would call them not born-again believers, but bored-again believers
mm-hmm.
because they don't do what God designed them to do. I mean, Jesus came down and mostly discipled people. He didn't really care about the
very
big event or the
oriented.
Big conference.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Even when he had the 5,000, which was finally, he's like, this is the big numbers. He leaves them, like the worst follow-up
mm-hmm.
ever, gets on a boat with the 12 and just
mm-hmm.
keeps going. I'm mm-hmm. like, that really struck me as, do I want to impress Christians or do I want to look like Jesus?
Right.
Because Jesus really focused on this thing
mm-hmm.
and it's so hard and so difficult. Like Matthew 17:17, for any moms that listen to this, you might have said this to your kids. Jesus said it, so it's okay, I think. In red letters, I've never heard someone preach on this. I've never seen it on a coffee cup or a t-shirt with an eagle on it or anything like that. But Jesus in red letters said Matthew 17:17, oh, how long, will have to put up with you people.
Yes.
He said that about the disciples.
Actually, we just heard that in church because we're covering Matthew. And our preacher did talk. He didn't probably spend too much time just on that. Sorry. But just to help you realize how long is this going to take for us to knock you over the head to see where I'm going with this. Right. And that what I want for you, I want you to look different. Mm-hmm. I want you to act different. I want you to talk different. Mm-hmm. And I want you to seek everybody out there that is weird and strange and a sinner. And, you know, I mean, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That just gets me all fired up.
But it lets you know you're in good company. Yeah. If you're a parent and you've ever said that, or if you're discipling someone, you're like, man, I thought this would be fun and cool. I'm doing what God said. But it's like, it's hard. It's difficult. But one day, I mean, Jesus, they get to see Peter preaching at Pentecost. You get to see these disciples go and change the world.
Right.
But Jesus, unfortunately, he saw a lot of the harder stuff. I mean,
he did.
Like I said, cutting off ears. Yep. Denying him, rejecting him, abandoning him. He saw a lot of the hard stuff, but his perseverance for 3 years, I think our generation needs some people that believe in us, invest in us, I would even say gamble on us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see a generation turn around, like get a very fatherless generation like we have today, have some Christian leaders, moms, dads, business leaders, whatever, say, hey, I want to pour into you and follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not perfect.
Right.
So I would even say fail towards Christ with me as we fail towards Christ.
Right.
And that's what the Christian walk is. That's real and that's raw and that's authentic. Mm-hmm. I think the next gen would be attracted
and
to that.
And meaningful.
Yeah. Let's talk about leadership because both of our husbands are big on leadership. And I see a thread of leadership running through your testimony and your story. And both of them, when they get together, we try to keep them apart because they try
They're knuckleheads.
Yeah. They try to like beat us
at
being smart.
Right.
They're always coming up with concepts on how to be better leaders and how to mentor people.
Right, and people
disciple
pour into
people.
Them, too. I mean, yes. Tim has mentors that walk alongside him for years.
I would say that we are married to two men who really try to get it right when it comes to leadership. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have mentors themselves in every areas of their lives. Mm-hmm. And we're in community with other people, and they don't forsake community.
Right,
And, you know, trying to get better. So who are some of your mentors and who's leading you?
I have two guys. They're very different from each other. So one guy is an architect. He has an architect firm and again, I talk about a lot of this in the book. Like I talk about what the details of discipleship, the difficulties of discipleship, how to alleviate that. But I tell this story about the architect. He's the architect for Walmart, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves to run. He's a very busy man. So trying to get mentored by him, a meeting with him, took about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But then one day I noticed that this guy really likes to run. And like I said, to me, mentorship is adding something to your calendar.
Right.
But discipleship is including someone in your calendar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't change your calendar. And so I was like, how can I find a way to get myself in his calendar by joining something he already does?
Right.
And when I saw he likes to run, work life, church life, family life or personal life. In his personal life, dude loves running. And so now I run with him. Like all of a sudden, I run with him like two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to talk and we get to go through different things. The other guy that disciples me is he's just a fun guy. He actually lives in Colorado, but for whatever reason, I cross paths with him all the time. We were with each other yesterday in Florida. One time we went to Florida to speak at something together, and he's like, hey, you want to come in a day early, and we'll go to Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one is over there. And it was crazy. He's like, let's listen to this audiobook on Walt Disney and just see the visionary that he is.
Yes.
And then we'll go to Disney World. And again, discipleship is caught more than it's taught.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much from just seeing what these guys are like, how they think, how they live.
That's great.
Not just watching them on stage, but seeing who they are in the real life.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's amazing. Yeah. I love
That's wonderful. So Grant, let us know, tell us how we can get in contact with you, and how we can get your book.
Yeah. If you want to follow me on social media, it's just my name, Grant Skeldon, S-K-E-L-D-O-N. And then even my website is grantskeldon.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a young adult in Dallas and you want to join some of the work we're doing and meet other dynamic, diverse young leaders, initiativenetwork.org.
Okay. All right. And then your book, Your book is available through Amazon.
Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Mardell's. And, yeah, Logos for sure. I love them.
I love them. Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, Amazon, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you, Grant, for joining us. This has been a great conversation and very needed. Mm-hmm. And I think we learned a lot, right?
I did.
Yeah, I did, too. I've got a lot of things going on in our heads. So, everyone, our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can get all of the information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can stay in contact with us on our website, ehewradio.com, and our social media at ehewradio. Thank you so much, Vicki, for being here co-hosting today.
Absolutely.
Everyone, we will see you back next week. And also, if you need to catch up on any of our past shows, go to our podcast on iTunes. And we thank you for leaving us a 5-star rating.
Yes.
I am your host, Carla Nivens. Have a wonderful week.
Every heart.